From Virginia Beach, Virginia, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Health is Loving Who You Really Are. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
My understanding of life is that it goes like this, that sometime we started up here as energy. Is there a physicist in the group? I don't usually use that word. Well, energy. I usually use something like soul or light or God, something more esoteric, but energy will do just fine. My concept of energy is a word called love. And let me define it for you, because I don't know what it is, and I might stumble on it this time. I just know when it's present, like I breathe in, and I know there's oxygen there, and breathe out, and breathe back in again, I know it's there. Then I have that same knowing about love, that I can breathe it in and I can breathe it out. But I also found out that if I hold my breath, the love still stays there, so it's something beyond that. So I've been looking at that for quite a few years now. Now, I know I don't look like I'm 18, but then you don't look your age either, so. This energy that we're going to call love has a real peculiar quality to it. The peculiar quality sounds something like this. I'll let you do with me anything you want to, because I love you. And we could add unconditionally. That energy called love started out, and it started making a path down through the lower worlds. And that path was maybe sort of erratic. I don't think it ever got back up here yet, or anybody in the right mind wouldn't come back down again. So, well, and it goes off into another space. One energy that all of us ride on. And the most profound thing I found out about this is that it is no more present in one person than it is in another person, but that it allows each person to do with it what you will. Now, that's remarkable that you have a substance that is life-giving, life-sustaining, and is life, and will let you corrupt it. Let you do anything with it you want to, even come back in line with it. Someplace along this living period, and let's just say about 3 years of age, we do certain things in our life. Maybe at that time we decide to leave home. Home, it's called the little orphan Annie routine. We go looking for Daddy Warbucks or something like this, or Money Bucks. A lot of the girls wait till they're 17 or 18, and then they start. But the guys are more adventurous. They start out at 3. The only problem is that I wasn't allowed to cross the street, so I couldn't go too far. At this place along here, something happens with us consciously in this energy, that this energy just seems to get cycled around there. We call it stuck. Anybody ever here get stuck? Do you have snow here? Do you have... Well, we can look at this two ways. One way we're going to look at this is you can get stuck by just holding your thought on one thing. Another way you can get stuck is to be in a physical place and you can't get out of it. This energy here will allow us to do things called anger. It'll allow us to do rejection. I'll abbreviate that. That's rejection. It it will allow us to do so many things with it that we start blaming it for our problems. Not only does it allow us to do with what we want to do, it insists on helping out. Now, the funny thing about it is I don't speak in terms of esoteric terminology. I just talk about positive and negative, like poles on a battery. You need both of them to make the car run. And so if we're talking about positive and negative without being negative, do you understand that idea? Just as a yin and yang, or however it's pronounced, yin, yin, yang. Well, I didn't go to the same seminary, so my teacher talked with an accent. And not only insist that you do this, allows you to do this, it keeps promoting the darn thing. It keeps promoting. We found out in our studies that what we can see in this world, we've called the negative worlds. That doesn't mean bad or evil, just a polarity. And the things above these negative worlds, the invisible, we've called the positive, or the spiritual levels. And the things that you're not sure if they're invisible or not, like your thoughts and your feelings, we've called those the spiritual material worlds, just so you could have some way to label something. Labels are a lot of fun. As soon as you label something and you forget it, you're further ahead. Because the whole idea is go to the essence behind everything. Go to the essence behind it. That essence, however, if you come back and you're reversing yourself to analysis and you come up here, the essence is rejection. What happens then is you go through intensive years of analysis and you have a well-analyzed rejection. This is a stuck spot. It's very popular to blame other people for what goes on in your life. It's very popular. In marriages, it's called fighting. In school, it's called talking back and smart-mouthing the teacher. In life with the policeman, it's called, I'll see you in court, officer. You know you're not going to court. You're going to pay the fine. You don't have time to go to court. He knows it too. Since this energy here is always a source, always a supply. And I use the word always two ways, A-L-L-W-A-Y-S, always, and A-L-W-A-Y-S, in every way. That it is a source, it is a supply. To me, there's only one thing left to do with this whole shebang, and that's just to have a good laugh about it. Because it's hilarious to think that we have within us the absolute essence of perfection, and we're messing around with it, getting sick, having problems, having despair, and worrying about things going on in life, and it's all under a direction of something that's going to handle it all anyway. We call that luck. Now, they've established a whole city to luck. It used to be called Las Vegas. Now it's called something else. I call that the city of suckers. Any of you gamble? Come on. I'll start calling out names. You got married. You took a chance. That's a gamble. You have more hands. You didn't know how it was going to turn out, or you'd probably never have done it. But given that the way it did turn out and you're going to do it again, you probably would have done it the same way. Because in that process was this energy that keeps coming on, that just keeps coming on, regardless of whether you like it or not. I remember when I was very young, and that'd be about, I was precocious, so I'm trying to make this sound decent. I had been about, let's just say 15, because that's a good healthy age. puberty is just passed. Manlyhood is not there. It's called the in-betweens age. I really was 15, but not really a teen, and I really wasn't 12, and I couldn't get the car yet, nor any girls. They were going with the guys who were 18 and had licenses and cars. So I prayed to this energy. You know, I call it Mr. Sandman. And never paid any attention. Didn't do it. But when I got older, like 21, and I had a car, it was a good car, it was a new car, it was a very nice car. I stopped praying by that time, though, because I had what I wanted. Then this Mr. Sandman called Loving Energy started sending the girls around. I didn't need him then. I already had it. About the good news about that is I was getting what I wanted, but the bad news about that is I didn't know that I'd put it in motion a long, 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 long time ago. I was one of those el stupidos who would never admit to it. It's nice to know you're stupid when you're stupid, because then you don't have to defend anything. Somebody ask you something, you say, I don't know. And they say, watch out, you make a fool out of yourself. I said, did it 20 years ago. It's okay. I can be a fool again today. It isn't going to matter. Well, what does that all boil down to? This energy down here will let me be a fool, will let me be whatever I want to be, and listen to this, will help me get it. In the lower worlds, the choices go like this, 25 to 1. 25 positives to wipe out one negative. 25 to 1. That's why you'll go to healers, metaphysicians, prayer therapists, other type of therapists. And you go in there with this dis-ease, this inharmonious consciousness, this thing that is cussing and cursing. And you go for instantaneous, spontaneous, whole healing. And it doesn't happen the way you want it to. And so you don't go back. You don't get the healing. You don't go back. You don't continue. What you do is you add number 26, negative thought, thinking that that's going to make you well. Then when you don't get any better, you start focusing upon all the negative that's here. This thing will get up around 250 until you get sick and tired of being tired and sick. That's one of the greatest cures of all time. I can't take it. That's it. And you change. And you think, why didn't I do that way back there? And let me tell you something. Don't get into that type of thinking, because you start adding on zeros. There is no answer, because you do what you do because you do what you do. You did what you did because you did what you did. So what? But you see, my education says I've got to be responsible for all that. Well, if anybody in this room watching right now on television can give me a round-trip ticket back 40 years in the past, round-trip ticket, there's a few things I'd like to go back and clear up. If you give me one into yesterday, anybody here can give me a round-trip ticket into yesterday? Okay. Well, then I just forget about yesterday, and I think I'll live right now. Because in this moment, I can deal. But you see, that's not wise if we're not being responsible. The educational pattern says, beat yourself in the head with what you didn't do until you can't stand it anymore. I'll bet you if we went around and shaved our head, our heads would look like a sack full of doorknobs by the way we beat ourselves. You know, a lump for every bad, guilty thing we've ever done. People say, yes, but good God, I mean, you don't want to get rid of guilt. I said, I do. They say, but what would this world be like without guilt? I'd like to find out. Because nobody wants to assume guilt, right? So then you get to blame somebody. We have terminology. I'll come back to that, hopefully. We're running the premises that we either create our life, and that means I stand up here and I am cognitively aware that I am going to throw this water on those people in the front row. Okay, here goes. Well, now you know I'm a liar, so the rest you can forget about. So I didn't do it. Unless, of course, I did do it, but on another level. If you break out in a sweat, don't blame me. Well, let's just say that another one of these levels is we allow. We allow things to happen to us. We allow somebody to come and stand in line in front of McDonald's when you have or Big Mac when you're having a Whopper attack. And they get in line in front of you and you stand there going, oh, don't they understand the line's behind me? And you allow them to order. But all the time they're ordering, you're poisoning your food by your thoughts. So you get up there to order, you say, give me a hamburger. The girl says, what? It's hard to talk to your teeth. Yeah, it's hard to talk to your teeth when you're angry. Well, there's another one here. And we call it promote. This is create, allow, or promote. Not all of them, because most of us haven't arrived to all three stages where we can create, allow, and promote everything that happens to us. We either are doing one or the other, and we can be doing segments of all three. Segments of all three. Remember that energy I talked about on the other side? It'll allow you to do things over and over. Right? You want to know where that comes in? I hear. It's called repeat. So, some of you are seeing the implication there, aren't you? We think that our life here on this planet is just one great big, and that's life. If we keep repeating over and over the same pattern of dis-ease, why do we expect anything other than that to appear in our life? Now listen, what you've got today, who you are today, and what you're working with is a direct result of what you've been doing since you've been born right now. If you don't like what you got, you're going to have to change something that you're doing. Because you're the one doing it. I'm not going to change. What if I change and it doesn't get better? At least what I got, I know. I know it's not good, but it could get worse. If it gets worse, how will I handle it? What I'm going to do is I'm going to worry about that. Oh, let's see. But see, worrying has a funny facet in it called not enough data. You can't move on it because there's not enough information in order to do something about it. That's why it's called worry. Whenever somebody's worrying, all you got to ask them for is, tell me what you know about what you're doing, then what you're going to do with what you know, and what the outcome is going to be with what you've done. Now, I know that's a little kind of double talk. The answer will come up with, I don't know, and that's why I'm worried. If I knew, I wouldn't worry. If I knew. And yet, if we can create, if we can allow, if we can promote, we also can know. And we know often by repetition. Somebody said to me, John Roger, what is wisdom? I said, practice, practice, practice. And they said, don't get cute. I said, repeat, 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 repeat. They said, that's the same as practice. And I said, that's wisdom. Well, did you learn the multiplication tables by doing it once through and you had them? Or did you repeat them? What you did is you repeat them and then forgot the process by which you learned them. The process is called rote memory, over and over and over and over. Do you know what a habit is? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over. Are habits bad? Depends on what you're going to do with it, doesn't it? Doesn't that depend a great deal? I have some real good habits. Eat, drink, whatever I can get my hands on, I'll drink, as long as it doesn't hurt me. How do I know the difference? Well, you go read what this person wrote in their health book, who later died of cancer. And you be sure not to do anything in that book, because that book's guaranteed. So then you go to these people over here, and you study what they've said and what they've discovered, and you found out that you're not a rat or a dog or a monkey. And so there's a lot of ambivalence inside of you. I do want to eat this food. I do want to drink this. I do want to be involved in this. But if I monkey around or I'm it's hopeless. So I think I'll be a liquidarian. I'll just drink my food. Well, a lot of people do that, you know. The interesting thing is that energy I spoke about here. How on earth does it get in the body? How does it get in the body? I found three ways it gets in. Breath, blood, and the nerves. If those areas have got pollution in them, guess what this is going to do when it comes in? It's going to increase the evidence of the pollution, called sickness, illness, disease. It'll increase it. Because what it is telling you is cure, remove, get rid of that. If you could truly flush your system with this loving energy, if you could flush your system, I don't mean like a toilet plunger type. Get the system clean, where we could truly say that is pure. You would be in what we call health. That health would radiate out from you as life-giving energy. As life-giving energy. The most direct sign, the most direct observable instance of that being present is laughter. As you're listening to the first speaker earlier tonight, he said that the X factor in the healing was caring. Well, we found out what love is. Love is caring and sharing and supporting. It's not care, share, and support. It's caring. Get this word, ing. That means doing something about it, not sitting thinking. There is a famous statement, I'm not sure the man's name, but he said, enough love would cure the world. And I said, that's just a bunch of refined hay. I was going to say another word, but. It is. It is absolute nonsense to think that enough love is going to do anything unless you do something with it. And that reaching out and just touching another physical form. Of course, they're going to slap your hands. Be careful where you touch starting out. I mean, you know, don't get grabby. Just be pleasant about it. Just reach out and touch them. Don't grab them and massage them so that they're bruised the next day. It's a matter of touching them. That touching says, I am caring for you. I am sharing with you. I am here supporting you, and I can't do it for you. I can do anything in this world I want to, and I can't do everything. I can do anything, but not everything. We start to do the whole everything approach in our mind and our emotions. Oh, there's this and this and this and this and this, and I feel so washed out about that, and this hurts over here and that hurt down there, and besides, I didn't get enough money, and but you can still breathe. You can still be pleasant. If we on this planet could reach an agreement that we could disagree without being disagreeable, we are well on the way to health, wealth, and happiness. That deserved a much louder clap than that. Some of you people have driven hundreds of miles to hear this tonight. Yeah, and some of them are going to turn television station, new channel just about now. This whole thing, have you ever seen somebody pray? They sit down. Good golly, this chair's rockety. Is it an earthquake or is it just me? Oh. And they pray. Dear whoever is listening. They might want to start out, is there anybody out there who can hear me, who can help me, who can do anything I want? Is there anybody out there? Tap on the window or the desk, but whatever you do, don't speak in my head, because if I hear voices, I'll know I'm crazy. Well, you know, a lot of people do hear voices. And those voices tell them to do a lot of things. And people say, what do I do when I hear the voice? I said, well, there's a whole lot of options. I said, well, what do you do when you hear voices? I said, what do? So I'd listen to them. Why? They may tell me something I don't know. Then what do you do with the information? I write it down, then I go check it out to see if it's so or not.
Berush Beshem.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beshem, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.